creation, not total. The bishop threw something in, and we're actually going to be working toward that, because we're going to shift from radically blessed to radical grace. But Bishop gave us a preview, and he taught this: radical grace equals radical holiness. And you just need to go ahead and look on the app and figure out exactly what he was saying. But basically, he was letting us know, if we get locked into this grace, then holiness is a byproduct. We won't have to worry about acting a fool. If we really get locked into this grace and begin to know who we are, believe who we are, it's amazing what we can do for God and what God will do through us. Somebody say amen to that. So let's give us just a little background and talk about the things that we've talked through before. Radical obedience, radical generosity, radical confidence, and radical favor. So far there has been four steps into being radically blessed: radical obedience, radical generosity, radical confidence, and radical favor. So that leads us to radically blessed, part four. Somebody say part four. All right, we're going to give us the working definition once again. Radically is an adverb meaning in a complete manner, thoroughly, or in an extreme way. We've been focusing on in an extreme way. I like to also say a ridiculous way. So I'm talking about being ridiculously blessed. I'm talking about being blessed in an extreme way. I'm talking about being blessed in so much to haters that weren't your haters become your haters because of the blessing of God on your life. Somebody say, I'm going there. All right, so let's go to Hebrews 6:10. Mother Mitchell, would you start off by reading that?
God is not unjust. He will not forget your work and the love you have shown him as you have helped his people and continue to help them.
We say that we commit to serve creatively and we communicate Christ's love compassionately. But just because you do that doesn't mean everything is flowing and working for you. You can step out and start a business and it be successful, but all hell is going loose in your life trying to hold the business together. You can run for office and nobody knows how hard it is to get up and be at every function and all the things you have to deal with. But the Bible says God is not unjust. He will not forget your work. Here's the thing. Many of us would have a much simpler life if we didn't care for people. If our heart wasn't so big, we'd have an easier life. But because our heart's so big, we step into things that's too big for us. We step into positions that are over our head, not because of us, but we're trying to be a blessing in the community. We're trying to change our family. We're trying to do better than what our parents did and leave our kids in a better place. But to be honest, if we didn't do all that and didn't stretch and didn't push ourselves and didn't go to school at 50 years old trying to get back into college and all of that, it would be easy. But many times it's difficult. If we could walk around life and just be bitter at everybody that done us wrong, it would feel better. But we can't do that. We got to work for people. But here's the thing. God says, I'm not unjust. I will not forget your work. I don't care who forgets you. I don't care who forgets who you are after you help them. It's amazing how folk don't know your name after you help them. Now, when they needed the money, they know your name, they know your number, they can text you, they can inbox you, but after they get the help, oh, I've been thinking about you and I don't have your number anymore. You had my number when you called me 20 times for $500, but now you got a good job, a good house, a good car, and you don't know my number, but God will not forget. Read some more. We're going to go to the next verse, actually. Yes.
We want each of you to show this same diligence to the very end.
Oh, hold on. So Paul is, I'm dropping in the middle of the chapter, but Paul is making this statement. He said, we want everybody to have this same mindset that you're going to work for people no matter what it costs you. That you're not going to live your life for you, but you're going to live your life for a deeper, greater purpose for other people. And we want everybody to show this same diligence to the very end. We're not talking about people who are going to start it and stop it. But people are going to show it to the very end. Somebody said, what the world needs now is love, more love. And so when you step into this mode of loving people and you come to a church that's about love, we need you to be diligent to the very end. Amen. We don't need you to love people as long as they're loving you back. We want you to love people to the very end. Read.
So that what you hope for may be fully realized.
If you ask me what is the crux of my ministry, or you ask me what is your heart, my heart is that everybody here will tap into and fully realize their full potential of what God has called them to be. That's what keeps me up at night. That's what wakes me up at night, is that everybody would be what God has called them to be. That's what makes me sweat and stress and try to study and read through the Bible every single year, trying to learn new things and reading over 90 books a year to invest in myself, because I want people under my leadership to fully realize everything that God has for them. There's nothing more hurtful for me preaching a funeral of somebody I know didn't reach their potential. The family is hurting because they're gone. I'm hurting because I'm wondering, did I do enough? Did I give them enough? Did I teach them enough? Did I love enough? Did I have enough information, enough knowledge? Did I do enough? Because I want them to fully realize everything that God has for them. And in doing so, same for me. I do not want to leave one iota undone. I want everything God has for me. I don't want to live this life and miss anything. I want it all. I don't want to just get older each year and not progress and grow into what God has for me. I don't want to be the same person at 43 that I was at 23 and was at 33. I want to grow. I want to progress. There's some stuff God has for me, and I can't wait to heaven to get it all. I don't need peace in heaven. There's not going to be any trouble in heaven. I need peace here. I need to overcome depression here. I need my body healed here. I want some money in my pocket here. Like Brother Donald used to say years ago, Bishop Donald used to say, I don't just want cake on, I don't just want pie in the sky. In the sweet by and by. I want some cake on my plate while I wait. I need some stuff now. I don't need a good marriage in heaven. I need that here. I don't need good kids in heaven. I need that here. I need my crazy kids delivered here. So I want to fully realize stuff. And the reason why I say that is because sometimes Christians can get lazy and just put everything off. Well, God's going to do it. When we all get, that's nice, but I need some stuff now. Now. Oh, let me throw this in. I don't need you to not be racist to me in heaven. It's going to be easy to love me in heaven. I need you to love me now, even when my skin color is different from yours. I need you to open doors for me and not make me jump through a whole bunch of hoops because my skin is darker than yours. I need some of that fixed here. So that's why we push, and that's why we stretch, and that's why we are under the pressure under, because we're trying to realize some things. We're trying to hope. Feel like Jesse Jackson. I got to keep some hope alive. Hebrews 6 and 12.
We do not want you to become lazy.
That's why I said what I said. So the problem with the Christian message and knowing that God is going to take care of us in a future day, it can make us lazy. It can make us lethargic. And I know I got something going on in my body. But listen, if God wants to take it out, he'll take it out. I'm just trusting and believing God. And I don't care if I die early. Wait a second. We got to adjust some of our thinking. If cancer comes in my body, my first mind is I'm fighting it. Amen. I'm fighting it with all I can. I will live and not die. I'm healed by the stripes of God. Yes, I may go to chemo and radiation, but I'm doing everything I need to do. And if they tell me I need to stop eating stuff, I don't want to just keep eating, saying God will provide. No, I need to put my best foot forward to be what God wants me to be. Don't want to get caught in being lazy. Read.
But to imitate those who through faith and patience inherit what has been promised.
This is interesting that the promise can be inherited. Now, normally an inheritance happens when somebody dies. When somebody dies and my name is in the will, I get what is left for me because they have died. But here's the thing. Our Savior has already died. So that means that there is an inheritance already available. But it says it's accessed through both faith and patience. We understand preaching about faith. We walk by faith. Hallelujah. And not by sight. We understand that. But it says through faith and patience. So what that means is that there are promises available to us. But one of the promises, you will have to wait for some of the promises. Hallelujah. That the promises of God, they are yes and amen, but that doesn't mean they're automatic. It doesn't mean when you come to prayer and they put oil on your head and you walk out, it's going to change like that. There are some suddenlies, there are some immediatelys, there are some straightways in the Bible, but most of the time it takes faith and patience. Let's put both of them up so they can see them big. Faith and the other one, patience. So we know a lot about faith, and I'm a faith preacher. I love talking about faith. But today I want to talk about radical patience. Patience in an extreme way. In other words, you got to learn how to have what I call spiritual bulldog tenacity. Bulldog tenacity is that lockjaw tenacity, which means once I lock on it, you're not going to get me off of it. I don't care what it looks like. I've locked into this. I will be successful, but you broke. You've been broke for the last 50 years, but I'm locked into I will be successful. I don't know when. I don't know how, but what I do know is you're not going to wrestle away my dream from me. I believe what I believe. And if I got to wait, I will wait. See, I'm not one of those people that I'm going to wait with an attitude. Because if you're waiting with an attitude, you're not really waiting. Sometimes my kids say, we want to go to McDonald's. We want to go to Chick-fil-A. And I say, okay, you got to wait. Daddy got to go here first. Daddy got to do this. If they have an attitude, Daddy will pass Chick-fil-A, pass McDonald's, and make them eat a Lunchable at home. It depends on how you wait. If you wait with a righteous attitude, I might hook you up. But if you're going to have an attitude while you're waiting, you can eat something at home. And I feel God saying the same thing. There's some stuff you're going to wait for because you're not ready for it. Even if I gave it to you, you're not ready for it. So you're going to wait. But how you wait determines how you get blessed. If you want to wait and complain, if you want to wait and be jealous, if you want to wait and skip a whole bunch of services, if you want to wait and not give, you might still be waiting till your last breath. But there's some other folk got bulldog tenacity and say, God, I'll praise you till I get it. Not when I get it. I'll praise you till I get it. I don't have to wait till the battle is over. I might shout right now. Because even though I don't have everything, God, you're still good. And God, you still sit on the throne. And God, you still have power in your hand. And God, you still put breath in my body. And God, you still have my mind under your control. And God, the stars still sit in the sky. And God, the ocean still comes in and goes. I'm still going to praise you no matter what because you're still worthy. Yeah, I'm waiting, but God's still worthy. Don't let your waiting trick you to think he's not worthy. Because just because he's not doing doesn't mean he hasn't done. Let me give an example. See, you've been married 15 years and you want a new ring. The female, you want a new ring. And he ain't got you the new ring yet. So now you have an attitude because he's not doing. But you forgot what he's done. The mortgage is paid. The lights is paid. The gas is paid. Now, you don't have an extra diamond, but don't be so focused on what he's not doing and forget what he's already done. And yes, you may not have a husband, but God's still been good to you. Don't forget what he's already done. That's why one singer said, when I look back over my life, see, I may not be able to look right now and see everything working, but if I just look back over my life, I got a testimony. God been good to me. God has been on my side. I might be in a trial right now, but I'm still breathing. I'm still living. God is still for me. And if God be for me, you got to take that bulldog tenacity and have a radical patience. God, I will not hold my praise hostage over a new dream. I'll thank you for what you've already done. And if we all look back over our life and I start passing the mic, we'll be from here till next week trying to tell what God has done. Because whether you know it or not, God's been good to all of us. All right, so we need some what kind of patience? Let's read Hebrews 6 and 13.
When God made his promise to Abraham, since there was no one greater for him to swear by, he swore by himself.
Some promises that are hanging over your life, God couldn't find anybody to swear by. See, God can't put his hand on the Bible and swear on the Bible because he's greater than the Bible. He don't have any, he got to put his hand on his own self and swear. But there's some promises that God has sworn. So what that means, they're going to come to pass, but you got to get in the waiting game. Let's look at the next verse.
Saying, I will surely bless you and give you many descendants.
I got to give us an example of this. God showed me something that I thought was beautiful. So if you know the story, Abraham was told he's going to have descendants. His wife didn't have any children. She's barren. And the story lets us know she was about barren for like 25 years from the time he got the promise to the time he got the result. It was about 25 years of waiting. That's a long time to be waiting. And God is telling him outlandish things. He's saying that I'm going to make a nation out of you that is as vast as the stars, and he doesn't even have one child. His wife's womb is not open, and it's not like she's 35 or 27. She's up in her 90s, and each year she ain't pushing out nothing but dust. She ain't pushed out a thing. But he got to keep believing and keep holding on. So here's the thing. I found out something interesting. God was working with Abraham all the time. You see, Abraham came from Ur of the Chaldees. And the Chaldees, or what we call the Chaldean people, they were astronomers and astrologers. So their business was studying the stars. So God called him away from that. And see, they had stars. They thought the stars were their gods. God called Abram away from that. But then he took him and he said, look up at the stars. He used something that he was familiar with and said, look up at the stars. I know your family look at the stars and they worship them. But I want you to look at the stars. That's what I'm going to do with you. And because he understood the idea of stars, it resonated in his spirit. Here's the thing. God will speak stuff to you that other folk don't hear. It'll hit you some kind of way and other people don't hear what you heard. Because what God has a word tailor-made for you. And what it'll do, it'll lock you in to the point where when everybody else gives up, you'll keep holding on because the way it hit you was just different. See, I know I work at General Motors. And I know when I leave here, I'm going to go get dirty and drive a truck. But I cannot get out of my head preaching in front of 5,000 and 6,000 and 7,000 people. So I'm holding on to what I believe. It doesn't make a difference what I see right now. There's some words that God has spoken to me that I just can't let go. I dream about it. I think about it. I see myself in place. There's some stuff I'm doing now, not because of where I am, but based on where I'm headed. I believe because God said it to me. He may not have said it to you, but he said it to me. So every time I see the stars, it hits me different. But here's something else. See, God doesn't just want us to lean on us. So he showed him the stars, but he said, also, I want to take you beyond that because you understand the stars. But I also want to show you the sand. Here's the key. When you go outside, you don't see stars when it's light. You only see stars at night. So that means the only way he could have been reminded of the promise is if he was in a dark time. But God said, I want to show you something in the daytime. He said, I want to take you to the sand. See, Abraham didn't understand sand like he understood stars. But what God was saying, night and day, if you look for it, I'm going to remind you, I'm still on your side. When you step outside and it's night, you'll see the stars. When you step outside and it's day, you'll see the sand. Below you and above you, I'm Alpha and Omega. All you got to do is believe what God has said. So Abraham looks foolish for holding on for 25 years until you understand that every day he was reminded. Now, of course, he made some mistakes in the process, but he got back up because every day God is reminding him. And let me let you know something. If you keep sitting under my ministry, I'm going to remind you you're better than what you have seen. I'm going to remind you to keep hope alive. I'm going to remind you to believe again. Don't you give up on God. Because God hasn't given up on you. Radical patience. Let's go to the next verse, 6:15.
And so after waiting patiently.
Waiting how?
Patiently.
What happened?
Abraham received what was promised.
After waiting patiently, he received. We're not waiting just to wait. We're waiting to receive. We're waiting to have something to show for our waiting. I know you can believe in any other God, but why would we serve a God and come to church and shout and dance and he don't do nothing for us? That's a crazy theology. The God that I know, he liked to hook his children up. He liked to do something. He may not do it when you want him to do it, but he's still going to do it. You could ask my mama. You could ask her when she was struggling with foreclosure and it looked like they weren't going to be able to stay in the house and she was stressed out and going and praying and doing stuff and nothing was working out. Then all of a sudden it turns in her favor and she's still in the house that they try to put her out of, because when God has spoken something, he knows how to bring it to pass. You just got to hold to God's unchanging hand. All right. I wasn't supposed to do this much in my introduction. I was just supposed to kind of move through that. But let me put this up. We aren't interested in a passive patience. We're talking about an aggressive patience. Well, I'm not talking about us being passive. This is not the day and age to be passive. People are dying every moment. You can go to Walmart to buy you some lemonade and get shot up at Walmart. People, this is not the day to be passive and, oh, well, que sera, sera. This is not the season to be passive. This is the season to be aggressive. The Bible says that the violent take it by force. All right? So the passive need not apply. So basically what we're talking about is what? Radical patience. Aggressive patience. And so what we're going to do, today we're going to give patience its props. And when I say props, I have five things that are going to spell, when you look at it, it's going to spell props. P-R-O-P-S. It has something for the P, something for the R, something for the O, something for the P, something for the S, and it's all in the scripture. But we're going to give patience as props, because we think patience is just waiting, and we think patience is a bad thing. But patience is a tool in the hand of the believer. One of the things, before I move on, one of the things that patience does, it confuses the enemy. Because he throws all these attacks at you and you operate the same. He hits you so hard and he knows you ain't coming to church, but you come to church. Well, when you get there, you're not going to lift your hands, but you lift your hands. Well, one thing I know, they may come, they may lift their hands, but they're not going to go down to the offering, because I done hit them with everything. They broke as a joke, but you find two nickels and you get up there and you give it with all you got. It messes with the enemy's head because he doesn't understand how to attack you when I've thrown everything at you and you still say, here's my worship. all. I don't know how to. I understand the Christian who's wishy-washy, and every time I throw something at them, they pass out. But I don't understand this new brand of Christian that no matter what I do, they keep bouncing back up and they have more fight and more. I don't understand them. And somebody said, praise will confuse your enemy. What more can I do? And this is what happened when he put Jesus on the cross. He thought he had crucified the Lord of glory, but a few minutes later he was in hell with him, wearing his tail out. He doesn't know how to handle a true follower of Jesus Christ, because there's no quit in us. So it's time to give us patience our props. So let's get rolling. Somebody say roll, pastor. I've been rolling. If you didn't know it, I already was rolling. Number one is patience that possesses. Patience that possesses. Not passive patience, but patience that possesses. Let's look at Luke 21 and 19.
In your patience, possess ye your souls.
In your patience, possess ye your souls. In other words, this is what you have to see. Our soul is the psyche of us. It is the part of us that is not regenerated. It's not made new. Our spirit is made new when we accept God. Our flesh needs work, but the soul is that place in between that we're battling with, wrestling with. And the Bible says patience will possess your soul. See, what you have to understand in this day and age, especially younger people who are on social media, you will always find somebody to compare with. Somebody is going on vacation with their kids, and now you feel bad because you ain't been on vacation in 5 years. And so now you depressed. You get on social media to have fun, and now you depressed. What you got to do is you got to possess your soul. You got to pull your soul. What do you mean? You got to pull your mind together and say, God, it doesn't make a difference what other folk are doing and what other folk are getting. I know you got something for me. I'm struggling right now, but I'm still on your team. I'm still with you. I'm going to pull myself together. I'm not going to go crazy. I'm pulling myself together. I'm going to have patience, and I'm going to possess my soul. Remember, at the early part of the year, we talked about my mind is playing tricks on me. And we talked about the importance of emotional intelligence. This is the most anxious, depressed age where mental health is railing, and you need to do whatever you got to do to possess your soul. Well, pastor, y'all don't have counseling, but that don't mean you can't find it. I am in therapy myself. I go to therapy. And the funny thing about it, as I go to therapy, sometimes I want to counsel the person who's counseling me. Because I'm so used to being the one giving, I be trying to help her. I had to stop and allow somebody to help me, but I'm doing it to possess my soul. I'm not going to go crazy. I'm not worried about somebody else's ministry and somebody else's church. I'm happy about where I am, but I'm moving on to something else. I'm trying to grow. But the worst thing you can do is go after something and not enjoy the journey. You have to learn how to enjoy the journey on the way to the destination. This is one of my worst issues. I'm so faith focused and so focused on the goal, I forget to stop and enjoy the destination. Possess your soul. How do I do that? Sometimes chill out and have a Netflix day. Just kick your feet up and watch some stuff and relax. Your bill's going to be there tomorrow. Your dream going to be there tomorrow. Your husband is still going to be there tomorrow. He ain't came yet. Chill out and enjoy the day. Every time somebody get engaged, you go on a 7-day depression period because you're not married yet. Pull yourself together. And just know, if they got them, he wasn't meant for me. You don't want a man or a woman that's not meant for you. Let me tell you something. When you have somebody who is meant for you, you still go through hell. Me and Devin were designed for each other, and we still have gone through hell. So what if you get somebody that's not designed for you? Pull yourself together and say, when it's my time, it's going to be my time. I'm going to relax. Amen. Well, my biological clock is ticking. Let it tick. How about you tick with it? Tick tock, tick tock. I'm about to watch some Netflix. I'm not going to be stressed out today. I'm going to enjoy the day. Let's look at this in the English Standard Version. What does it say?
By your endurance, you will gain your lives.
Patience sounds cuter, but here's the real word: by your endurance. One of the fruit of the Spirit is not just love, joy, and peace. It's long suffering. It's the ability to endure. It's the ability to be in a storm and still be able to find your bearing. Be in a storm and still be okay. See, some of y'all are sitting here and thinking, yeah, I believe that. But you could be living in the Bahamas. And a Hurricane Dorian could have ripped everything you had. And you are not, don't know how you're going to make it. It could be worse than what it is. Learn how to endure whatever you're enduring. Because there's somebody going through much worse than you. Pull yourself together. Learn how to go through it. Learn how to say it. God, you ain't got to tell me every day, I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it. God don't want to talk about that all the time. Sometimes he just want to talk to you about you. But you worry, God, when you going to do it? When you going to send my man? When I'm going to get my car? Pastor Andre got a car and I give an offering every week and I ain't got no car. Shut up. Endure and enjoy while you're enduring. Sometimes God don't want to just talk about the blessing. Here's the thing. We treat God like a sugar daddy. I'm only interested in you as long as you're giving me stuff. But what about thanking him just for being God? Learn how to endure. Set your face like a friend. I'm going to do it. I'm going to stay in it. I know folk don't like me, but it's okay. Everybody doesn't have to like me. I'm not going to break down every time I find out so-and-so was talking about you. Okay, good. I'm glad they got something to talk about. I'm still going to do what I'm doing. I'm still going to be me. You not stopping nothing. I'm going to endure. The scripture says it this way. He says, endure hardness as a good soldier. Sometimes we forget we are in a fight. This is not supposed to be Santa Claus Easy Street. We have demons and devils. We are in the fight. But here's the thing. We already know who wins. So all we have to do is get to the end. All right. Patience that possesses is the first P of props. Then patience that receives. Patience ought to cause you to receive some stuff. Let's go to Hebrews 10:36.
For ye have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise.
This is why you need patience, because it says, after you have done the will of God. Part of the problem is you haven't done the last thing he told you to do. And you want him to do something new, and he doesn't mind. He's just waiting you to come back and do what he told you to do. After you have done the will of God, then you need patience so that you can receive. Part of the problem is you ain't doing the will of God. Get back in his will. Well, how do I know his will? His will is in his word. His way is in his word. Get back to talking to him. And this is what I need you to understand. When I talk about reading the word, don't try to be like me. You don't have the job that I have. Reading through the Bible every year, you don't have to do all that. All you need to do is spend time with God. Sometimes for you, it only may be five verses. Work them five verses till you know them backwards and forwards. Don't try to be some scholar to debate on Facebook. Just get what you can, take what you can, and talk to God. It don't have to be deep, but just talk to God. You said you are my shepherd. I don't know what that means, but God, I thank you for being my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. You can take one verse, one phrase of a verse, and work it all month long and change your situation. When I say get in God's word, I'm not talking about quantity. I'm talking about quality. I mean, cut the radio off for a second and just listen to God. I mean, get off the phone for a second and listen to God. Get off the TV for a second and listen to God. And you'll be amazed, because one word from God can shift your whole life. And you will receive. And all you need, once you have that, is just a little patience. Let's put this in the English Standard Version and read that in the English Standard.
For you have need of endurance, so that when you have done the will of God, you may receive what is promised.
So if you have done the will of God and you look over your life and say, God, I'm in your will and it still ain't working, God says the only thing you need now is just some patience, some aggressive patience, so you can enjoy the journey while you're on your way to something. One of the worst things to do, and that's why I like to fly, even though it costs money to fly my family places, I can't stand that when we leave on a trip and we get past Anderson, Daddy, are we there yet? We trying to go 8 hours away and you already talking about, are we there yet? And we ain't got off the bypass. Some of y'all are like that with God. Are we there yet? Are we there yet? Are we there? You need some patience. And I know y'all ain't never done it, but have you ever just looked in the back seat and said, shut up. I'll let you know when we get there. And then here's another trick. I got to pee. I got to go to the bathroom. I'm hungry. Whew. But I wonder how often do we wear God out with all our extra junk because we're so immature. But when you ride with adults, people understand it's not going to go overnight. It's going to take a while. We're going to drive a while. But we're going to get to the destination and we're going to enjoy it. But we got to chill out for the moment. So patience that possesses and patience that receives. That's the PR. Let's go to the O. Patience that outlasts. You need an outlasting anointing. So let's look at this, Galatians 6 and 9.
And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not.
If we faint not. So it's a guarantee. You're going to reap if you faint not. When you study that faint not, it means don't lose heart, cave in, or quit. And so here's the thing. If it says, let us not be weary in well-doing, it means that well-doing will make you weary. Because you're doing well with humans. We could all live a good, saved life if we didn't have to deal with other humans. But we got to deal with other people. And when you do good to people and you're in that place, it gets tiresome. It gets tiresome to be always the one to be the bigger person. I don't know if you've ever been in a relationship where you always got to be the one to say sorry. I don't care how wrong the other person was, there's not going to be an apology until you be the one to apologize first. That gets tiresome. When you have somebody who's messy and you always picking up after them and you trying not to nag, that gets wearisome. But you're trying to hold and stay in the marriage and you're trying to do this. It gets wearisome to be on a job and they keep promoting people over you that's not as qualified as you are, but God hasn't told you to leave yet. That gets wearisome. It gets wearisome to try for stuff that you didn't even think you should try for and then be told no. After you get convinced to try it, then the door gets shut in your face. That gets wearisome. But here's the thing. You will reap if you don't faint. See, you may not always reap where you've sown, but you will reap what you've sown. See, there are some women that are in beautiful relationships, but the first husband had to die first. They put all that love and everything, and he wasn't no good. And God just lifted him up on out of here. And the next man came in and was everything she needed. Because she didn't reap where she sowed, but she reaped what she sowed. Let me give you a quick example about me. Then last June, I preached a message called, "This Is My Winning Season." I left here and went to Roadhouse. So within an hour, I got some news that told me I had lost. See, I got convinced that I was going to be a good candidate for the school board. So a person from Ball State called me and said, "I think you should put your name in." And I was like, I don't know if that's, I don't even know I have time. They're like, "Listen, I'm going to put a word in for you. I think you should do it." Then the mayor comes and says, "You know what? I'm going to nominate you." And then I get to the final 20. So I'm like, "Well, maybe this is what you want for me." And I preach, "This is my winning season." I go to Texas Roadhouse, get a call. "You did not make it." I'm like, "God, why did you make me do all that and then have the door shut in my face?" Because you don't always reap where you've sown, but you will reap what you've sown. See, when one door closes, seven more open. So don't trip over what you don't get. It's not about that. It's about what I've got planned for you. And this is what I want. God is saying, I want you to have the confidence to stand up and try for stuff that you don't even think that you should be getting, because other people see you different than you see yourself. So step out there. Even if you lose, go for it. Even if you go for a campaign and lose, go for it. Because you're going to reach somewhere. It may not be here. And some of y'all, I hate when people say this, but it's true for some folk. I just got to get out of Muncie. I can't stand Muncie. And a lot of them folk do all that, and then they come back in 5 months. But for some people, it is true. You done all this work in Muncie, and then you hit another city, and everything you've tried here all comes in your future. You will not lose one thing unless you quit. If you quit, you lose it all. I can tell this story real quick. I remember leaving my mom's house. You know, her and my dad lived across from Longfellow and Huffer. So I was going to walk to the mall. So I got down to Bill McCoy Ford, which was Bill McCoy at the time. And I realized from Bill McCoy to the mall, it was actually kind of long. And I no longer wanted to go to the mall. Because number one, I didn't have no money anyway. I was just going to go to look. And I'm like, I'm doing too much walking to look. But when I turned back from Bill McCoy to my mom's house, I had already come so far. If I turn around now, I've wasted so much. So I kept on walking. And I ended up at the mall, and then I rode the bus back home. I didn't walk again. But here's the thing. Some of y'all are too far to quit now. If you quit now, you've wasted too much. Don't be weary in the well doing, because you will reap. I can't tell you when, where, or how. All I can promise you is you will reap. Don't you quit. I command you, don't you quit. Don't you throw in the towel. Don't you quit. It's too late to think about quitting now. Hold on. So all you got to do is outlast. All right, so here's another one. Patience that perfects. Somebody say perfects. So we have P-R-O and P. Now we only have two more to go. Patience that perfects. Let's look at James 1 and 2.
My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations.
That sounds like something crazy for James to say. Count it joy when you fall into all kinds of temptations. Count it joy. Read the next one.
Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience.
The testing of your faith works patience. So here's the thing. I'm telling you that you need faith and patience to get the promise. And we were focusing on patience. But the Bible says when your faith is tested, it automatically produces patience. So that's why James says, I know you don't like it, but count it for joy, because it's working something in you. Okay, how can I, need to be coming to a close, but how can I put this together? Why are you rushing to come to a close? Because football season's on. All the games come on at one. I got to treat my men right and get them out at a good time. Just joking. So I thought about this. The word patience comes from the word patient. Patient is where we get patience. But when you are a patient in the hospital, you are hoping that you don't want to be there. You don't want to be in the hospital, but you are hoping that whatever the doctor does to you works. In other words, the reason why you go to the hospital is because you can't do it yourself. So I need you to work on me, and I don't need you messing up and misdiagnosing me. I need you to get it right, and whatever you tell me to put in my body, I need it to work. So here's the thing. God says the testing of your faith, what it does, it puts you in the hospital. But what it does, it works patience in you. You don't want to be in the hospital, but what he puts in you while you're going through, it produces something in you that you're going to need later on. In other words, the trial you're in now is not for now. It's for where I'm putting you in the future. In the future, you're going to need some patience, so I'm working on you now. And it don't feel good now, but when you get to there, you're going to understand why you needed that then. See, I didn't know I was going to be a pastor. I didn't understand that, and I had a little bit of short man syndrome, so I was a little bit hot-tempered. I know y'all can never believe that. My family and I, a little bit hot-tempered, a little bit rough around the edges, and I was one of those persons that I didn't get mad often, but once I got mad, there was no levels. It was just here, there. So you know what? The miscarriages and not having children, I didn't like that, but it worked something in me that now at 30-something, when I started having kids, I'm too tired to go off on my kids every at the drop of the hat. Y'all lost the remote, and I throw the remote across. I'm too tired for all that. Because while I was going through not having, it was working something in me. And now that I'm a pastor, I'm a better pastor now than I would have been. I was anointed then, but I hadn't been worked over enough. You need God to work on you and test you and try you, and it produces something in you that you can be where God wants you to be. When they lied on you, it hurt, but it prepared you. You can't stand in any strong office if you're worried about folk lying on you and talking about you. You need to go through it now. That's why mama and daddy walked out on you and gave you up for adoption so you can be who you are now. Tyler Perry, when you listen to his story, Oprah Winfrey, when you listen to her story, when you look at some of these great people, look at what they had to deal with, but the test that they went through is why they can be billionaires now. It costs you something now, but it'll be worth it later. Because patience perfects. Read the next verse.
But let patience have her perfect work.
That means you got to stay on the wheel.
That ye may be perfect.
That means you got to stay in the hospital. One of the things that a lot of doctors hate is that when people refuse the care and just get up and leave. You can check yourself out the hospital. You can get tired of being there and you can walk yourself out. But sometimes you don't get the work that you need when you just get up and get off the potter's wheel. And you just get up and get out the hospital and you just run away from the test. Sometimes you gotta stay in the test because it does something. It works on you, so let it have its perfect work. Why?
That ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing.
That what's going to happen is going to put something in you. So in your next, you will be perfect, entire, and wanting nothing means lacking nothing. Yeah. You're going to have everything you need to be who you need to be, but it's not going to get there through fairy dust. You're going to go through something. The Bible says the godly shall suffer persecution. You're going to go through something. And here's the thing, even if you're not saved, you're going to go through something. Unsaved folk go through stuff. Saved folk go through stuff. But here's the thing, the unsaved people, they only have a few things to turn to. They turn to the sex, the drugs, the alcohol. They don't know where to go. We got a God we can turn to. We all going through something. The world is stressed out, but we have an answer. And the reason why the world doesn't know the answer, because we act like we don't know the answer. Oh, my God. Oh, God. Pastor, I need a job. I pray you to get a job. And then, what's going on with the job? Well, they fired me. What happened? Well, I didn't show up for a month because I was depressed. Man, you're going to be depressed because you're going to be broke. Pull yourself together. Get up, go to work. No, none of us want to go to work, but get up and clock in, go to work, do your job, and get your money. And I heard T.D. Jakes say this, and I'm going to steal this. Stop expecting a whole bunch out of your job but a paycheck. The folk on my job don't like me. Who cares? Are they still paying you? It's a hostile environment. You know how to walk through a hostile environment. You grew up in the hood. Chill out and get your paycheck. Everybody ain't got to like you. Pay me. You ain't got to like me. You ain't got to talk to me. You ain't got to eat lunch with me. Pay me. I ain't there to be liked. I'm there to get paid. So, I would. I would say, to be honest, I talk about my Cadillacs. The only reason why I buy a Cadillac is because I get a discount. If it wasn't for working at General Motors, I wouldn't be driving no Cadillac. I'd be driving something else. I just do it because it's the benefit to me. I'm doing what I need to provide for my family. I ain't trying to be extra. I just want them to pay me. That's right. Listen, next verse. We got 3 minutes. Next verse.
If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given
him.
This
is so beautiful. So he said the testing of your faith is going to produce patience in you. And then when patience has its perfect work, you're going to be entire. You're not going to be lacking anything. But then the next thing he says is if you lack wisdom. So basically what's going to happen, once you get hit with all this junk trying to get perfected, it's going to make you think, God, what in the Hades is going on in my life? And what God says, don't turn to alcohol, don't turn to magazines, don't turn to Google. Just ask me. And sometimes God will take such a bad situation and start telling you so much stuff. Folk that you was mad at, you'd be understand. Oh my God, I understand why they don't like me. Your heart will go out to them. You're no longer mad that they don't talk to you because you begin to realize and begin to pick up. You have wisdom. Wait a second. The reason why they come to job so evil because they get beat at home every night and they taking it out on the coworkers. Now you have wisdom to understand. It's not even about you. It's about what's going on in their life. And now you can step in and pray. So when you're going through, just talk to God. One of the greatest ways to be anointed is to go through hell and reach up to your Father. I will lift up my eyes to the hills, from which cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord. I know I need to move on, but let me give you just this example. So if I look down right now, the furthest I can see is this bottom carpet. That's the first I can see, the concrete, right? That's the furthest I can see. If I look out, I can see only so far. If I look to that side, I can only see so far. Look to that side, I can only see so far. But they tell me that the sun is 93 million miles from the earth. But I can see the sun. I can't see hardly a few feet down, few feet to the side, few feet to that side, and a few feet in front of me, but I can look up and see a plane 30,000 feet in the sky. So here's the point. I was made to look up. I wasn't made to look down. I wasn't made to look to the side. I was made to look up. So lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be ye lifted up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. And if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me. I'm not putting my head down. I was made to lift up my head. I just threw that in for an appetizer. So that's going to make me go just a little overtime. That's just a little chips and salsa to help you with your meal. My last point is this: patience that strengthens. So props, P-R-O-P-S. The last one is patience that strengthens. Read Isaiah 40 and 30.
Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall.
Isaiah 40, 31. Read it like a good old Baptist preacher.
But they that
hold on.
Wait.
I don't want to put that pressure on you. I'm going to read it myself like a good old Baptist preacher. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. I believe that if I wait on God, he'll turn it around. I believe if I wait on God, he'll lift me up. I believe if I wait on God, he'll work it out for me. I believe if I wait on God, he'll do it for me. Somebody say, do it, Lord, do it, Lord, do it, Lord. Come on, let's stand to our feet. Oh, I feel the Holy Ghost in this place. Wait, I say, on the Lord. He gonna do it. He gonna do it. And here's the promise. He says, after I get it done, I'm going to renew your strength. Everything you lost while you're waiting is going to be infused in you when you get it. There are some blessings that will make you forget the tears. I'm going to close with this. I'm in my house. I've only been in my house for 2 years now. We got the house in 2017.